So we're going to be talking about a man named Zacchaeus this morning. Many of you know him from Sunday school with the felt, you know, that you used to put on, and he had the sycamore tree. And nowadays, we don't have to worry about the felt. We've got TVs and everything in the kids' classroom. So we've moved on, just so you know, if you've got kids, we've made it a little bit more interactive. So some of you may or may not know the story. We're going to go through just a few verses this morning. And really, in essence, this story is really kind of the epitome, or to say this is like the perfect analogy of who Reach Church is. As a matter of fact, even in our core class, as you go through it, I hit on this a little bit because I want you to understand your role as a believer. How many of you know that you have a role as a believer, that you didn't get saved and then now it's all about you? In fact, that's quite the opposite. And I love this story, and I'm going to share something that I haven't really ever heard anybody else preach. Not that it's my revelation, it's just something that God gave me, and he put a passion in me for this story. And so I want to share it with you a little bit more in depth than at core would be, than during core class. But so in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, we see the story of Jesus, and Jesus is coming into a city, and he's coming into Jericho, and he's coming through this crowd of people, and there's this man named Zacchaeus, and we're going to talk about him through the majority of the story here. And one thing I want you to know is that Jesus never goes anywhere without the intention of touching someone. And I think that we have to understand that we should function just like Jesus, is that everywhere we go, we should always be on assignment to touch somebody's life. And so it opens up and it says this: Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. And the one thing that I want to really hit on here is it goes from Jesus coming into a town, and then immediately it goes into beginning to talk about the characteristics of this man. And I want you to know that in a story that is ever told in the Bible, when Jesus hits on something in the Bible and he begins to break down the characteristics of a person, he's wanting us to understand the nature and the status and the stature of the person. And so he begins to go into a dialogue and begins to break down Zacchaeus. He didn't just say, hey, there was this man named Zacchaeus, right? He broke down and he said, this was Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector. In other words, he was the CEO of tax collectors. He was the man as far as tax collectors go. Another thing he talks about is that he was short in stature. So he was business-wise, he was at a level that everybody else wishes they could be. In stature, he was shorter, and he wishes he could probably be a little taller. And it goes on and it talks about all these different things that he was despised. It says that he was too short, and so he had to climb a tree to get to the same elevation as everybody else. And I think it's very interesting that these things are the things that are highlighted in the story. And what I want us to see here in just a moment is the story of Zacchaeus is the story of people in your life that you don't even realize that are there. See, I think a lot of times what we can do as Christians is we look externally, right? And we look at someone's external well-being and we say, oh man, they must have Jesus. And we diagnose an internal condition based on an external. Because see, it says that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So in other words, what they're implying is that if you look at Zacchaeus from the external view, you're going to think he's got it all together, right? And a lot of times what happens is we move over people based on the status of their, they've got a lot of money, or they've really done really well for their lives. They've got a really nice vehicle, really nice house. And we move on because we just assume they must have everything that they need. You see, what Jesus is letting us know is, no, as we finish and we go through the story, you're going to see that that is the very opposite of what we as believers are called to do. And it goes in and it says, It goes on and it says, and he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Now, he said he was short. Now, what I want you to do is it's sharing with us a status or who he is. But what it's also letting us know is a tax collector was known as a thief, as someone who would rob people. And so what happens in our lives is as we meet people who sin, who have been sinners, who have not received Jesus Christ, what happens is in that lifestyle, the enemy makes them feel short. He makes them feel inadequate and not accessible to the kingdom. Do you see where I'm going with the story? You see, that is what happens a lot of times in our lives as we meet people and they see themselves as not worthy to be in your world. Because you have Jesus and you do have love and you do have hope, but the enemy has convinced them that they are too short and unworthy to be in your presence. And so what the enemy does is he shrinks people's their insecurities, and he shrinks people down to a level of a place where we would just walk over them. We would kind of eliminate them from a conversation. But then it says there was this tree. And guess who the tree is? The tree is you. The tree, what we are called at Reach Church to be, is that sycamore tree. Because it was the sycamore tree. See, no one preaches on the tree. Everybody preaches on Zacchaeus and preaches on Jesus. But Zacchaeus would have never met Jesus if it wasn't for the tree. And the tree gets looked over, but it's the tree that gave Zacchaeus an elevated perspective for Jesus to see. And what happened was this, is that because the tree was there, it gave him a stepping stone to get to an elevation that he was not once able to get to, so that Jesus could see him. And so what happens is that you have to become the tree in people's lives. And yes, they may walk on you. And yes, they may put pressure on you. And yes, it may be uncomfortable for you. But if you can get someone to see Jesus, it's worth the pressure. It's worth the ability to be looked at in a little different way. And you're just a tree. Yeah, I'm a tree. But do you know who I got to let and be introduced to Jesus today? You see, I think a lot of times what happens is that love eliminates the obstacle of sin in people's lives. You see, there was this obstacle between Zacchaeus and Jesus called sin. And do you know what tears down that obstacle, that barrier between Jesus and Zacchaeus? You. You become the tree. You become love that begins to create this tree in people's lives, and they, where they once thought that they were not capable of getting into the life of Jesus, because you're the tree and your stature, and you become solid and founded in his love, you can be something that somebody else can use to get to a place that they once weren't able to get to. And so just because someone has everything on the outside doesn't mean that they have everything on the inside. And we can so easily look at something external and say, man, they've got it all together. They don't need Jesus. And as you can look through society today and see the suicides that have happened and see all those that have taken their lives that were what we would call, quote unquote, successful. Chief tax collectors have taken their lives. What? Because they didn't have a tree. And I wonder if we could just simply become a tree so somebody else could find Jesus. I wonder how much more fulfilled your life would be. This is the crazy thing. That tree was planted years before Zacchaeus would ever walk the roads of that street. That it started off as this little weed coming through the ground. And everybody looked at it and watched it. And all of a sudden now this tree, this little weed becomes a little big bush. And then this bush becomes a tree. And now people are having to walk around it and use it as shade. And all the different attributes of this tree. But it started as a seed. And so many of us, we look at our lives and we say, man, I don't think No, if you're a seed, you're enough. If you've got seed in you, you're enough. If you're willing to be planted in Jesus' house, if you're willing to be secure in him, people are coming. People are coming. See, sin creates this lie that they never will have access to something, that they'll never have this access to Jesus. There are people in your life that they feel short. They feel like they never could get to Jesus. They look at your life and they say, I wish I could have joy like them. I wish I could have love like them. I wish I could have hope like them. But because of the sin in their lives, they've become short-minded. They think that everything about them, that they're never going to be worthy enough to get to Jesus. But then there was this tree that was planted along the side of the road. And this tree was you and I, who cared enough about somebody, who was willing to walk by us and say, hey, you can, let me have a conversation with you and tell you I was once in your spot. I was once in a place where I thought that I wasn't significant and I didn't have any future and I didn't have a purpose and God didn't have a plan for me, but Jesus. See, it's easy to overlook people. You know, the sinner that seems, you know, that they're unreachable, right? We see, I don't know about you, have you ever met those people that they look like they're never going to receive Jesus? Like, they are just rough as they can get. You're like, yep, I'm not even going to talk to them because I know they don't want anything to do with Jesus. That's who this guy was. But isn't it interesting that it didn't say that someone had a conversation with him and said, hey, let me tell you about this Jesus. He had interest in finding Jesus himself. He needed a tree. He needed somebody to give him elevation, someone to give him opportunity to meet him. But we look at people and say, man, that sinner is too much of a sinner. There is no hope for them. So what you're telling me is you believe in Calvinism, that you believe that they're just going to go ahead and they're doomed for hell. No one that God created is doomed for hell. Every person that God created is created to be in the kingdom. And so what happens is a lot of times we can look at the external, whether they're wealthy or they're super well good sinners. But man, that's a good sinner right there. Like, yep, he doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. And we just assume that they don't want or need Jesus because they're really having really a lot of fun with sin. If how many of you guys have sinned in this place this morning? Let me see how many honest people holy cow. That's amazing. Thank you for being honest. Praise God. So how many of you ever have just been like, man, after sinning, that was fun and it just came? No, that's why you're in this place, because you finally got to a point where sin it no longer satisfied you. It no longer fulfilled the void that you were living for. And Zacchaeus had all the stuff. He had the job. He had all these people under him. He could tell what to do. But for some reason, he still needed Jesus. And we can so easily look at this external view and say, man, they've got it all together, or they're a crazy sinner. And we can either one. See, that's what the devil will tell you. That, oh, man, they're too wealthy. They don't want anything to do with him. They'll say, oh, he's so much of a sinner. He's definitely not going to come. And the devil will do everything he can to talk you out of being the tree. He will do everything he can to talk you out of being what God has called you to be in their life. Right? See, love doesn't allow an external reputation to be what says, well, you know, you can or cannot come into this kingdom. I love that the tree just stood there and played the role of a tree. And sometimes we so easily try to make this so much more difficult as Christians. Well, I've got to know the first 5 books of the Old Testament, because if they ask me something about that, I mean, we've got to have all of these answers that we feel like that we've got to have before we can be the tree. We try to make this thing so much more difficult than it really is if we would just simply be what God has called us to be. You see, I love that it goes on and it says this. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. When I see that, I can't help but notice the effort that this man is willing to put in for his salvation. I can't help but look to see the effort that this guy is willing to put in just to have a glimpse of Jesus. And I wonder how many conversations someone puts in with you to be like, so what did you do this weekend? And they're wanting you to tell them, man, I went to church. I was worshiping God, changed my life, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, I had a good time. We watched the Razorbacks game and it was terrible. And I cussed it out and threw the remote. And overall, it was a good weekend. And they're waiting to have this conversation with you, but you always seem to skirt it over. And you can't change or transform anybody's life without a conversation with them. Without you being willing to say, hey, this is what changed my life, or this is what's going on in my life, or this is what God's doing in my life. And we try to just assume that everybody knows we're believers, right? But Jesus went and said, go into all the world. In other words, it's a verb. He's saying go into, be action, do. It's not a noun, it's a verb. It's telling us to move forward. I'm such an English expert, right? And you know what? That his ability to climb that tree was because of somebody else's ability to be planted. And this morning, right now, while you're in this church, you're being planted. There are things that God is doing in you, and your roots are going deeper into Christ. So that when somebody needs to climb your tree, it's stable. It's got the security in him that this love doesn't, again, like we talked about last week, this love that we're sharing, that we're giving out, it doesn't come from us, right? The love that you have to give is not very good love. The love that you get from Christ is what the world is searching for. The love that you and I have in us is what people are willing to do to climb a tree, to go through the effort and the exhaustion of climbing a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. He didn't say he wanted to meet him. He said, I have to see him. See, people need to see Jesus in you. On Monday morning, work is tough. Meetings aren't going well. People need to see Jesus in you. When things are bad in your world, that doesn't mean that you avoid your own world and your own life and your own situations. But what it should be is that I thank you that in this world I have trouble, but I thank God that I am an overcomer in Christ. And that people see that resonates in and through you, that I am an overcomer, that I'm not Mr. Eeyore, that I don't walk through life being like, well, no. I'm pretty sure that they've sold way more Winnie the Poohs than Eeyores. Can I get an amen? Right? Because nobody wants to be an Eeyore. Everybody wants to be a Winnie the Pooh or Tigger. Right? Like, everybody wants to be Tigger or Winnie the Pooh. Why? Because they're fun. Because they are exciting. Anybody in the last year bought an Eeyore? No, because that is a reality that nobody wants. And people need to be able to climb your tree and know that there is hope, that there is something secure in you because you're planted in him. And in you doing that, it creates a place for them. This whole series is a place for you. In other words, what was happening is that Zacchaeus, because of the tree, it created a place for Zacchaeus to be, to find Christ. Then it goes on in verse 5, and it says this: when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. Zacchaeus. Can you imagine this guy who was wanting to see Jesus? Now Jesus sees him and calls him by name. Because I want you to know that people that are in your tree, Jesus has been waiting to meet them. He's been longing to introduce himself to them, but they've got to get into your tree before he can see them. And then it goes on and it says, and he said, quickly, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. So in a matter of a few seconds, that Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree, Jesus walks by, Jesus addresses Zacchaeus, "Hey bro, I want to go to your house today." Understand, Zacchaeus knows who he really is. No one knows Zacchaeus like Zacchaeus. No one knows you like you, right? And so this man of the reputation of Jesus just asked you that he wants to come to your house, and you know you. Like, can I get a day? I got to go take some movies out of my display that probably I need to take some music. I need to take some things out of my house. Let me get my house cleaned up a little bit. I'm just preaching to me. Okay. We'll work over here. Y'all seem more holy. And so he says, "I want to come to your house. Quickly, get down." What I love is that Zacchaeus didn't look at his life. He didn't look at the thief that he was, all the money that he had stolen, the sinner that he was, the short stature that he was. It says he just got down. This is Zacchaeus' response. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. That is how people should be able to meet Jesus. That it shouldn't be, well, if you do this and you do this and you do this, then I can come to your house. No, it should be because you are so oozing with the love of God that they say, "I got to come to your church. I don't know what's going on there, but I got to know this Jesus that you know." And apparently, and so Zacchaeus gets down and in great excitement, he's like, "Yeah, come follow me, Jesus. Yeah, it's over here. It's right over there. See that big one? Yep, that's from me stealing lots of money from people. But anyway, that's beside the point, Jesus." You know, we've got a lot of food. We got a big table. You've got, bring anybody you want. Zacchaeus didn't, it never said, and he was so worried and he was so fearful of this Jesus because the fear and the condemnation that he felt from Jesus that he was, it doesn't say any of that. Weird. Because we're really good at that. Right? We shouldn't scare people into salvation. That doesn't keep people saved. The love of God draws men to repentance. It's the love of God. And I think that, not that we don't deal with sin and not that we don't confront that stuff, but what happened is what you're going to find out is that when you love right, sin leaves. Anyway, so what's the point? This is the point. Love allows someone to belong before they behave. See, I wonder how many of us are letting people belong before they behave. In other words, what I'm saying is we don't have to have somebody have it all together before they can be a part of the kingdom. Some of you in here this morning, you don't have it all together and you're a part of our church. Why? Because we want to live from the perspective of we want you to belong before you behave. This is the deal. Because if we don't let them belong, they will never behave. People will never want to know the Jesus that they have to do this, 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 and this before they can come into this kingdom. And so many times we want to say, "Hey, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and oh, you did that. No, you got to go through an extra counseling session for that. Then we'll consider you members." No, he doesn't make him, he just says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house today. I want you to know that you belong with me. And we'll deal with your behaviors later." Because Jesus is very confident in his ability to love people through their sin and their messes and their past mistakes and the issues that they have. Jesus is really good at that. He's not afraid of your mess, and he's not afraid of your family's messes and your coworkers' messes. He's not afraid of any of those. What he is afraid of is you being the tree that you need to be. See, giving, at the end of the day, giving love creates access. See, a lot of times we don't have access into people's lives because we don't give love. When you give love, it opens up the door for people to embrace something bigger. And so if you don't give somebody access, if this tree would have had, like, you know, caution tape around it, per se, and the guy named Zacchaeus tried to get up the tree to get a different viewpoint to meet Jesus, and it said, "Caution, then it would have been access denied. And because access was denied, it would have created a whole different story in the Bible. But the tree was available to be climbed on. And so when you make your life available for people, you create access for people. And when you create access for people, you create an opportunity for God to go to work in their lives. A lot of us, we don't give people an opportunity for God to work on their lives because we won't have a conversation with them. We're too busy with our lives to create a place for people. And I got to tell you, if I'm honest with you, I've seen more Christians walk away from Christ simply because they weren't fulfilling their own call. Because they got so bored with just coming to church. I got news for you. If you think this is the most fulfilling day of your week, you're 100% wrong. This should be you being filled back up because of what Christ has been doing through you through the entire week. That you've been giving love, that you've been expressing, you've been pouring out on people, and now you've come to be filled back up. That's why we lift our hands and we're like a funnel. God, fill me up. God, put your presence back in me so that I can go love some more people. See, love causes others to see beyond their sin and see their significance. Imagine that Zacchaeus is like, oh my gosh. Okay, here he comes. Oh my God. Oh, he knows my name. He just invited me. What, he wants to come to my house? What? And what it did is in that situation, in that story, what Jesus was doing was he was showing Zacchaeus his significance. He was letting Zacchaeus know you are important. So important that I'm going to stop on my journey. I'm going to go hang out with you today. And I wonder how many people feel like Jesus really wants to hang out with them. If you don't want to hang out with them, then what you're implying is Jesus doesn't want to hang out with them. And I'm not saying you've got to overwhelm yourself with having 15 dinners and lunches with people. But what I am saying is when you feel the Spirit of God saying, hey, be the tree, be the tree. And in that, you will see Jesus do miracles right before your eyes. How many of you guys want to see miracles? How many of you guys want to see Jesus do something significant in your life? You have to be accessible. I think it's so important that I'm not the pastor that sits in the green room and then whenever it's time to preach, I come out and I'm like, hey. No, I want to be accessible to people because I believe that it's in these conversations during the beginning that I'm accessible because I want you to know that this is how Jesus is. He's accessible. He wants to be available to people and he wants to be approachable. And I think that we have to sometimes inconvenience ourselves and say, man, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm willing to make myself available. See, sin, what does it do is it excludes. And it makes you feel like you're all by yourself. Can anybody else attest to this? When you sin, it makes you feel like you're all alone, that you're the only one. Do you know what love does? It does the very opposite. Love snuffs out the power of sin. See, when somebody's sinning and they feel excluded, the only option they feel is sin. The only option they feel is to continue to do what they've always done. But when you love somebody, it gives them a new perspective of themselves and their Savior. Then it goes on and it says this. So Zacchaeus quickly came down, took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy, but the people were displeased. How many of you know you can't please the person that you're called to reach and the people that don't want you to reach them? So who are you going to please? The people that don't care about people and don't love people, or are you going to reach the people that need Jesus? So Jesus could have gotten, oh, wow, this is a sinner? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, Zacchaeus, I was coming to your house today, but I found some better people to hang out with. He didn't say that. He knew who Zacchaeus was, and he was going to his house on purpose because he wanted Zacchaeus to know that he had a purpose. He wanted him to know that, look, I'm coming to your house. We're going to have a nice lunch or dinner that you're going to provide because I'm on a journey. No. but maybe. And so Jesus is like, yes, I'm willing to come to your house. And I'm willing to have a conversation with you. And I'm willing to share with you something. And all of these haters, man, we call them tater haters. It's a long story. Anyway, you know, there's so many people in life that are just haters. They are going to hate everything that you do as a believer. Because some people don't like people getting loved on. Because some people have had misfortunes with love. They've had issues and they've been hurt or whatever. And so they begin to tell, do you know who this guy is? They begin to help Jesus know how bad of a sinner he is. Right? That's what we shouldn't be. And he goes on and said, he has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. I mean, he uses the word notorious. That's a professional sinner, just in case you didn't know. Yeah. So they grumbled. And verse 8, it says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, see, this is the power of love right here. I said all of the other stuff to give you this. Zacchaeus is all of these things. And he knows he is. He knows he's a sinner. He knows that he's robbed people and he's stolen and he's been unethical. He's done all of these character issues that are just, he's full of character issues. Character flaws are rampant in his life. But he meets Jesus. And in him meeting Jesus, this is the conversation that happens. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, notice he didn't try to justify himself. He didn't say, but I know all these people are saying this, but Jesus, because love accepts, and he knew that Jesus was willing to accept him. Amidst all the naysayers and all the other stuff, Jesus was accepting Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus knew it. And this is what he says. Zacchaeus saying this to Jesus, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I won't just give them what I stole. I'll give them four times as much. That's the power of love. That love doesn't just settle for just trying to get by. Because of what Jesus was willing to do, and because you are willing to be the tree that Jesus could find him in, now Zacchaeus, who was known as a professional sinner, a thief, a stealer, a robber of people's lives, says, Jesus, I want you to know that because of what you've shown me, I'm willing to exceed and I'm willing to give back even more than what I've stolen. Four times I'll give back. In other words, what he's saying is this, is that I will be the person who will pay, and I will be the person who has to be in a situation where I'm the one that has less money now because of what I did. In other words, he's saying, I will take less money and know you than I will anything. And this is what he says. I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house. My point is this, is that love transforms a corrupt heart into a generous one. And there are people in your life that are corrupt. There are people in your life that have hearts that are tainted with pain. And if you would just be the tree, if you will create a place for them, if you will be the hope and the love and the answer for them, they're willing to give back everything that they've robbed, that they've stolen, that they've taken, just to be in Jesus' presence. I want you to know this morning that people want to be in the presence of God way more than you and I may realize. People want to experience Jesus way more than they realize, way more than you and I realize, but we've allowed the sin, we've allowed the stature of who they are externally to define what they want. See, at the end of the day, connecting to somebody is, notice if you saw that Zacchaeus, because Jesus made this connection to him, that he was willing to invite him into his house. Had he not had that conversation, there wouldn't have been an invitation. And at the end of the day, people need to have a conversation with you before they can ever have an invitation with Christ. It's you and I who God has given the mission to reach the world. Jesus said, you go into all the world. He didn't say, I'm going into all the world. He said, you go into all the world. And it should be our mission to love people well, to let people experience the love of Christ. And in this, Zacchaeus was willing to leave what he was doing and say, I'm willing to be poor. I'm willing to give to the poor. I'm willing to give four times as much. That I'm willing to take the fall. That I'm willing to be at a disadvantage so that other people can have an advantage because of what Jesus did for me. And I wonder who in your world is the Zacchaeus. I wonder who in your world is waiting to climb a tree, is waiting to come to know Jesus as their salvation. And I would ask you this week that you would pray, that you would consider, who is the Zacchaeus in my life? Who is the Zacchaeus that's going to walk by my tree? And will it be marked off with caution tape? Or will it be accessible for someone to climb? You determine that. Your ability to love determines whether it's marked off with caution tape or it says, come in. But I want you to know that you are the tree. Love expressed is love experienced. People can't experience what we don't express. And as we are willing to express love, people experience it. If you would stand with me this morning as we close. I just want us to know that our assignment is really, really vital. The thing is, sometimes it's so easy to be like, well, my salvation is secure, so that's the most important thing. But how many of you know that somebody shared and expressed love to you? And you're in this place this morning because of what somebody else had a conversation with you about. And I would encourage you that you would find somebody this week to love on. You don't have to have all of the answers. You don't have to have all of these things that you've got to be able to share with them. Love speaks for itself. Jesus just simply having a conversation to open up the whole thing for Zacchaeus. So I want to pray for those people this morning that you would say, this is my Zacchaeus. This is who I know that I need to reach. This is who I knew I need to love on, that I need to make accessible. I'm going to believe, God, that those doors are going to open up for you this week. Can you believe with me this morning? Let's pray for them. Father, I thank you for every life in here this morning, God, that we all represent the tree in this story, God, that we all represent, God, a person willing to climb to come to know Jesus, God, that there is a Zacchaeus in all of our lives. And Father, I pray that you would reveal to us, God, this morning, every Zacchaeus, God, in our lives, in our world, God, that you would have us be able to love on them, to be able to create a place for them. God, that you would bring strength into our hearts, God, that you would fill us with your love, God, this week. Empower us to love on people, to invite them into our own worlds. God, I pray that there would be testimony after testimony of conversations of people who've been hurt, who've not stepped in the doors of a church in years, that next week, God, that they will step into the doors of a church and they will feel the love of God. That they will be welcomed into a family. That they will know they were created on purpose for something significant. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing. This morning, maybe you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. We want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This morning, maybe that you'd say, I've prayed a prayer, but I really never gave my life to Jesus. I never really committed my life to him. Or I want to commit my life to Jesus. If that's you this morning, if you would, just slip your hand up real quick and you can set it right back down and you say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior for my life. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing. If you would just pray this prayer with me, just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, that he rose again. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to reveal the destiny and the purpose you have for my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you.